If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, go with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hasn't the music today been a blessing? It always is, but it's spoken to my heart in a special way today. So thank you, everyone that's had a part. I think it's really helped us worship the Lord today. Thank you so much. Tonight, we're wrapping up a short series on the subject of worship. We haven't come close to saying all that could be said about worship. We really zeroed in on what the Lord said in John chapter 4 when he said there is a true way to worship God. And if there is a true way to worship God, that also means that there is a false way to worship God. We've said that true worshipers worship in truth. They have a biblical vision of God. They respond to him as he is revealed in his word. We've also said that true worshipers worship in spirit. So worship is not just light without heat, it's light and heat. Real worship begins in my heart, in my spirit. One author gave, I think, a very comprehensive definition when he said this. To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the soul with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. That's a great definition for all that it means to worship. Another author said that worship is all that we are responding rightly to all that he is. All that I am, bowing down, kissing the hand like the word means before all that he is. And so tonight as we wrap up this series, I want to speak to you on the privilege of worship. The privilege of worship. And I want you to look at one expression in Hebrews 10:22, and we'll unpack the rest of the passage here in just a moment. He says in verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Notice that phrase, "let us draw near." In the context, we know that he's not just talking about drawing near to one another. He's talking about drawing near to God. And ladies and gentlemen, drawing near to God is the great privilege of worship. It's the greatest privilege of the Christian life, and it only happens when we worship. There is no greater privilege that you and I could have as sinful human beings that God would say to us, "You can draw near to me." And that's what ought to happen every time we gather together in this place. We ought to draw near to the Lord. I want to talk to you 2 points tonight, 2 things we'll think about. We'll talk about the privilege of drawing near, and then if we have time, we'll talk about the profits of drawing near. So think with me about the privilege. Do you remember, and this will be a long stretch of the imagination, a long trip down memory road for some tonight, do you remember when you were a child? You remember how wonderful it was when your father or your mother threw open their arms and embraced you and brought you close and gave you a big bear hug? For some of you tonight, it's been years since you got to hug your parents. And you remember how safe and secure and loved you felt when they would embrace you. Parents, it's a wonderful thing when you're sitting on a couch all by yourself and there's feet of empty real estate. And one of your children runs into the room and instead of sitting on a vacated spot on that couch, they decide to crawl up in your lap and to snuggle with you and come close to you. Do you married people remember how great it felt the very first time your beloved held your hand or gave you a hug or gave you a little sugar on your cheek? And you thought to yourself, out of all the guys in all the world, she wants to be close to me. Out of all the girls in all the world, he wants to be close to me, and you couldn't believe it, and it was wonderful. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those are sentimental examples, I know. But I can't help but think that God means something sentimental when he invites us to draw near to him. How else could we take it? God is saying, child, come close to me. You've been living too far away. Enter in. Draw near. Come close enough to know how loved you are. Get close enough to know how safe you are in my shelter. Come close enough to hear my heartbeat so that you will love what I love. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what worship is. It's hearing the invitation from God to draw near and drawing near. It's the moment in the worship service when someone is singing. And at a particular moment, my focus turns from the song and from the singer to the one that's being sung about. It's the moment when I'm putting my offering in the plate, but in my heart something's happening and I'm laying treasure at God's feet. I love you, God, and I want to give this to you. It's the moment in the preaching when I'm no longer hearing just the preacher, but in my heart I'm hearing the voice of God himself. God is drawing near. Ladies and gentlemen, our greatest privilege as people of God is that an almighty God who dwells in inaccessible light would say to us, I want you to draw near to me, and I want to draw near to you. We didn't come to hear a sermon tonight. We didn't come to hear music or witness a baptism. We came as the people of God to come into the presence of God, to draw near to him. It's our greatest privilege. Now, to some people, that's old hat. We've heard about the presence of God all our lives. I want you to know, folks, I haven't gotten over it. And did you know that for thousands of years, believers couldn't even fathom the kind of access that you and me have to God? Look up at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, because all of this is true, verse 22, let us draw near. Do you realize what had to happen so you can come close to God? The Bible tells us how we draw near. How do we do it? We do it boldly. It says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness. We don't draw near coldly. We don't do it casually. We come boldly with confidence that our Father wants to commune with us. I've told you before, this example is so fresh to me. Many weeks I have appointments stacked up for me. Many times if you call me on a Monday, you won't get me till the next week. And sometimes I've got so many phone calls and messages I can't return them. But I want you to know there are two people in this world that never have to make an appointment. They never get stopped at the secretary. There are two people in this world that anytime they want to walk into their daddy's office, they can and do. And their names are Will and Anna. And I can't tell you how many times it's been after a church service and I'm dealing with someone in my office over some sensitive matter of counseling, and Will and Anna, they don't knock, they just come busting right in. Daddy, can I have a piece of gum? And to them, it doesn't matter who I'm talking to. They know that they have the right to talk to their father. Why? Because it's their birthright. Ladies and gentlemen, do you recognize tonight that you, if you are born into the family of God, have the birthright of access to your father? Amen. That's the kind of access you have. And you don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to leave a phone message. You don't have to text before you call. You can come boldly anytime you want to come. You come boldly. I'm convinced that anything less than drawing ourselves near to the presence of God when we worship together is living below our birthright. Do you get that? We can draw near to God, and if we don't experience his presence tonight, It's because we're living below our privileges. How do we come? We come boldly. Where do we come? We come into the holiest. I love this. This takes us back, of course, to the Old Testament, to the tabernacle and to the temple. The tabernacle was a tent that was stretched in the wilderness, and it's where the people went to worship God. That tent had two primary courts. One was called the holy place. And in the holy place, you had the table of showbread. And in the holy place, you had the candlestick and the altar of incense. And there, the priest would worship day and night before the Lord, burning incense and praying. It was a place where the priest could come. But there was a veil on the other side of that holy place. And beyond that veil was a place called the Holy of Holies. And in that very exclusive place, that very privileged place, there was a piece of furniture known as the Ark of the Covenant. It was a chest, and it was covered with gold, and inside that chest was a copy of the Ten Commandments. And that was the place where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. It's the place where the presence of God was among His people. And those of you who are Bible students know that not just any Jew could come into the tabernacle. Not just any Jew could come into the holy place, only the priest could. And not just any priest could come into the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could. And he could only come one day a year on the Day of Atonement. So that was a place, if you would, for VIPs, very important priests. And they only got to get in there one day a year. On normal days, the normal people could only have some of God's presence. They could never have as much of God's presence as was in the Holy of Holies. They could never know God like the high priest could on that one day of the year. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is telling us that we have boldness to go into the Holy of Holies itself. God is saying that we can come as close to Him as we want to be. We can have as much of God as we want to have. We can experience the presence of God to the highest degree. Did you know that you can know God in a personal and powerful way just as much or even in a greater degree than any other Christian? You can have His presence. Old Testament saints couldn't fathom that. I don't think we recognize what a privilege it is. And ladies and gentlemen, that's our aim when we gather together. Don't ever miss this. Our aim is not just that we would sit in an air-conditioned room on 4900 Campus Drive, hear a song and hear a sermon and go get some dinner. Our aim is that in our hearts we would be transported into the Holy of Holies itself, that we would draw near to God, that we would experience God to the greatest degree of God. Think about that. That's the privilege of worship. How do we come? We come boldly. Where do we come? Into the holiest. Why can we come? Well, look at what it says in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20 says that we come through the veil. Ladies and gentlemen, we come by the blood and through the veil. Now, we know that the thing that keeps us from nearness from God is our sin. Sin is the reason we can't come close to God. We remember all the way back at the beginning in the book of Genesis that God Himself would come down and walk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day, wouldn't He? They were sinless. They were innocent. Nothing had ruptured their relationship with God. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's law, when they ate that piece of forbidden fruit, they were kicked out of the garden, the place of communion with God. If you remember, angels with flaming swords were set at the entrance so man might never get into the garden again. God could not commune with people while they were in their sin. Well, mankind certainly should never have been content to live without communion with God. And I can promise you this, God was not content to live without communion with His people. So there in the Old Testament, He made a way for sinful Adam, for sinful man to come into His presence. when that high priest would go into the Day of Atonement and experience God to the greatest degree of God, he would carry with him blood. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. They would take the blood of a pure, spotless, clean lamb. He would sprinkle it all over the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, and God would allow that high priest as a representative of his people to commune with him. We know that it wasn't the blood of bulls and goats that caused for that atonement or that reconciliation to be made. The author of Hebrews is clear about that. It was the fact that that blood was a symbol of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in anticipation of the day that he would go to the cross and pay the wages of sin for us. The price for us coming into the presence of God, for us drawing near into the holiest, is the blood of Jesus. Don't ever get over that. I've heard in recent days of past their prime athletes who've gotten hard up for money, so they auction their presence for a fee. For instance, you can pay $500 and have dinner with Jose Canseco if you'd really like to. And the idea is that since you're not as famous as he is, since you're just a regular person, you have to pay for the privilege of his presence. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the gospel of Jesus Christ says just the opposite? It says that God, the greatest, most important, most renowned person in the universe, wants to commune with little old you and little old me. And instead of having me pay for the privilege of his presence, he has paid for the privilege of mine. And not with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Like the veil of the temple, Hebrews tells us, the body of Jesus was rent from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. And that's why we would come, because God would break the body of his own son, shed the blood of the spotless lamb, rend the veil of the flesh of God's son, so that I could be near to him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's good news. And when I hear that someone like him would go to those lengths to be with someone like me, it makes me hunger and thirst in my heart to get as close to him as I possibly can. Why can we come? By the blood, through the veil. With whom do we come? What does it say again in verse 22? Let us draw near. Now listen. When we think about drawing near to God, we think about making that journey alone. You know, that's not what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. He's saying that we draw near to God together. This is a trip we get to take all together. There are some experiences in life that would be grand in their own right, but they're made grander by the people with whom we share them. Think about that. My favorite place in the world, other than Fort Worth, Texas, and Worth Baptist Church, my favorite place in the world is Durango, Colorado. I think there's something almost spiritual about escaping the heat during the middle of the summer in Texas and getting to the mountains, don't you? I love it. It's a beautiful place. The weather is cool. Our family's favorite thing to do on vacation in Durango, every year we've done this, we get on a train that goes from Durango up to Silverton. Anybody ever ridden that train? It's a narrow gauge railway, and it goes right through some of the prettiest scenery that you've ever seen. It follows the Ouray River. The views are just spectacular. The scenery is majestic. And if I went by myself, I think I'd have a wonderful time just seeing God's handiwork. But I can't tell you, as we take that 3 to 4 hour train ride over the years, how much richer that experience has become because I've gotten to share it with my family. Some of the most wonderful memories that we've made have been on that train, looking at that scenery together. And some of the most cherished photographs we have come from those times together. Listen, a trip up to Silverton on the narrow gauge railway would be grand in its own right. It would be worth doing even if you were all alone. But because of the fact that you get to go there and see that and experience it with someone that you love, it becomes grander still. And ladies and gentlemen, if only one person draws near to God this evening, this worship service has been an experience. If you're the only one who really enters in and really gets to experience the power and presence of God tonight, then it was worth coming to church for. But I'm going to tell you, that moment when people start focusing on the one sung about and not the song, that moment when people aren't listening to the preacher anymore, they're listening to the Holy Spirit. Oh, as I've observed worship services over the years, I've observed that those are moments people share together. You know why we keep our lights up when we sing in here? Because I want to see your face in that moment. I want to see when that song brings a tear to your eye. I want to see when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes across your face. I want to see when you get happy in the Lord and you grin from ear to ear. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to come into God's presence alone, but it's even more wonderful to come with people that you love. We get to go into the holiest of all, to the holy of holiest, and we get to go together. He says, let us. And it's the greatest privilege in the Christian life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you. We've been talking about worship for the last several Sunday nights. We've talked about worshiping in spirit and in truth, and we've defined worship and characterized it, tried to talk about biblical expressions of what it is and what it isn't. Let me ask you, when's the last time sitting in a service like this, your heart was drawn near to heaven? That's what worship is all about. When's the last time you heard your father say, listen, you've been living way too far from me. Come near. Come close. Let me tell you how much I love you. Let me tell you how I'm going to protect you and how I'm going to provide for you. Let me tell you how much you mean to me. And then maybe in some song or in some gift or in the way you respond to some message, you can tell me how much I mean to you. That's worship. Drawing near to God. And it's our greatest privilege. Let's pray together, may we? Father, I'm convinced in my life, for too many worship services, I've been content with worship from a distance. A song, a sermon, an offering, and going home without ever hearing from heaven. Father, I want to experience this evening the full privileges of my birthright. I want to come boldly. I want to come close. I want to draw near. And my guess is that there are some people here this evening who are hungering and thirsting for the same thing. Oh, could we seek it? Could we pray for it tonight? And might we know it? With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, the God of the universe is inviting you this evening into a relationship with Him. We're all sinners, separated from God. We deserve to die and go to hell and be separated from Him eternally. But that's why God sent Jesus, because He loves us, because He wants us to draw near to Him. Jesus lived a life we couldn't live. He went to the cross and died a death we couldn't die. Died for our sins and in our place. 3 days later, He arose from the grave and He's alive forevermore. And as a living Savior, He has the power to forgive your sins, to hear you when you pray, to come into your life and to give you eternal life. Oh, what we've been talking about tonight, worship and drawing near to God, is a birthright for the children of God, and you can never know it if you're not a child. Has there ever been a time and place in your life where you realized you were a sinner, you couldn't save yourself, you turned from your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? If you've never done that, I want you to know that the heart of God for you is that you would, and that you would do it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Would there be anybody in this room with every head bowed and every eye closed who would be honest enough to say, I'm not sure I've ever received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not 100% sure if I were to die today that I would go to heaven. Pastor, would you please pray for me? If that's you this evening, would you just lift your hand with mine? I'm not saved or I'm not sure. Pastor, would you please pray for me? I don't know that I have a relationship with God. I don't know I've ever been saved the Bible way. I know I don't want to go into eternity without the Lord. I know I don't want to die and go to hell. Pastor, would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? How many of you Christians would say, this evening there is in me a growing dissatisfaction for worship at a distance? With all my heart, I want to draw near to God. If that's you this evening, would you lift your hand with mine? And here in just a moment, why don't you come and tell him that? Let him know that the thing you value most is his presence. Draw near, believer. Father, thank you for this time we've had together in your word. Thank you that we can come by the blood and through the veil into your very presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand this evening? Brother Johnson's going to lead us in a verse. If you need to be saved, let someone come and show you from a Bible how you can be saved. Believers, come and draw near to the Lord tonight.